Hello, and welcome to the Science is Gray podcast, a space where we explore the gray areas and intersections of science, ethics, and social justice. I'm your host, Serena Farb, and as a former science teacher with a biochemistry degree and passionate liberation activist, I believe social progress and justice depend on bringing science and ethics together for a holistic and nuanced approach to creating a compassionate and sustainable world for all beings. Welcome back, friends. It has been a little while since I've released an episode on here, but I'm excited to share this one with you, which is a long overdue conversation with Dr. Benjamin Benulis that we recorded sometime last year while I was on the road with my vegan van tour. Dr. Ben is a chiropractor and author of the book Create Health, Reverse Autoimmune Disease Without Drugs or Their Side Effects, and has personal experience reclaiming his health from chronic illness using diet and lifestyle, and currently helps others do the same. Today, we delve into Ben's personal story and experience healing himself, as well as exactly what the term disease reversal means, and how diet and lifestyle can actually impact chronic illnesses such as autoimmune diseases. If you or someone you know is struggling with a chronic illness or symptoms, or just frustrated by the lack of help you've received from the medical establishment, this episode is a must listen. And really quickly before we get started, I just want to remind everyone that if you visit my website, bornvegan.org, you can find more of my work and sign up for my email list to get notified every time I release a new episode. Plus, all the links to my social media pages and YouTube channel are there if you'd like to engage with me more frequently. Welcome, Ben. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Been wanting to do this for a little while, so glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to jump into this. And you recently just published a new book about your story and reversing autoimmune diseases with plant-based diets. So I guess to start off, what brought you here? Like, what led to you writing this book and going down this path?
It was kind of a thing that I backdoored into. It wasn't like, oh, this seems like a good idea. About 2009, 2010, I started to have health problems. This was like my late 20s. And it kind of, over the course of about 6 months to a year, it really snowballed into like, you know, minor problems, snowballed into really big problems where I had really bad chronic fatigue, was just tired all the time, no energy. Slamming back 2-3 Monster energy drinks a day. I actually was going through my old notes on Evernote and I found this note from 2010 and it was like a bunch of sticky notes. And I had written all the places that had my favorite types of energy drinks so I could remember them.
Oh, wow.
And so that was really bad. I had really bad chronic muscle pain where just my body was sore all the time. Felt like I'd always worked out, felt like I'd always gotten hit by a truck. I had eczema all over my hands, which was really unsightly. And I just wanted to like not put my hands out in public or keep them in my pockets and want to shake anybody's hand. And then I had really, really bad digestive issues where it was like everything I was eating was affecting me. And I was constantly having like discomfort and things, you know, just all kinds of digestive issues that were painful, uncomfortable, embarrassing, no fun. And it kind of snowballed to the point where it was like really interfering with like my life, doing my job. I was working in tech in semiconductors, microchips, and interfering with like my friendships, my relationships. Like I was tired all the time, didn't want to do anything. And so I was just like, okay, eventually it got to the point where, you know, you're like a red-blooded American male in your 20s. You're like, I'm just gonna, whatever, it's no big deal. But eventually it got to the point where it was like really interfering with my life. I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor and thinking, okay, I'm coming to him with symptoms X, Y, and Z, and he's going to give me, you know, drugs A, B, and C and problem solved. And I found out that definitely did not work out that way, that, you know, they run the labs, they do the exam, they go, oh, well, you know, we can't really figure out what's wrong with you, but if you got gut problems, we'll send you to the gastroenterologist. You got, you know, pain problems, send you to the rheumatologist. You got skin problems, send you to the dermatologist. And so it's like, oh, okay, now I get to see all these specialists. Cool, like they'll help me. And finding out that, you know, they run their own exams, do their own thing, and go, well, we don't really know. Take this drug, maybe it'll help. And I was just sort of getting passed from person to person and not really like getting any help. It was just sort of like, well, we don't know. Maybe, so you know,
nobody could like diagnose you with anything or tell you what was causing the problem.
Yeah, not really. They could give me kind of vague things. But it was sort of like in their mind, if they couldn't figure out it out, then it wasn't really a problem. Like if it wasn't a thing they learned about in their textbook in medical school, then it wasn't a real thing. Like it, I had people tell me it's all in your head, or, you know, since your labs look normal, it just must be all in your head, you know? And so it got really frustrating because I thought like I was going to get answers and I didn't get answers. And, you know, I knew I had a problem. I solved problems for a living working as an engineer. And it was like, when I was surrounded by a bunch of people who were ignoring the fact that there even was a problem, I got very frustrated. Mm-hmm. And so eventually I just decided like, okay, I got to figure this out on my own. Whoever is supposed to help me, I can't find them. They're definitely not going to take my insurance. And so that's when I just started researching and like just reading books, watching documentaries on YouTube, reading scientific articles, trying to figure out what was going on. I remember coming across information that was like, oh, if you change your diet and you eat more fruits and vegetables, like a lot of these problems go away. And I thought, not doing that. But after, you know, going to the health food store and buying like the gluten-free, soy-free, fun-free macaroni and cheese and it not making me feel any better, I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I actually got to change my diet. And that's when I started like just trying to eat smoothies because I thought, okay, well, you know, I eat everything in a microwave. A microwave's, you know, a blender's a lot like a microwave, right? Like you open up the door, you throw the food in, you close the door, you push the button. A minute later, you get your food. It's like lazy man's solution. So I just thought, okay, I'll do that with fruits and vegetables instead of this ultra processed microwave food. And maybe something will get better. And that was kind of the stepping off point, because then I actually started to feel better. I was like, wow, this actually makes a difference. Like who would have thought fruits and vegetables were good for you? Cause I'd had health problems in my late 20s, but I'd never been overweight so I just thought like, oh, this has nothing to do with what I'm eating. Cause I'd be fat if I was eating the wrong food, you know, and I was eating, you know, just like pizza, burritos, Chinese food. So that was kind of the jumping off point. And then it just, mm-hmm. I got more and more into nutrition. I remember the movie Forks Over Knives came out like within a year of doing this, and it just kind of snowballed into a thing where I like read more and more about plant-based nutrition, went vegan, and just got really absorbed in it. And eventually just everything healed when I finally figured out like, you know, kind of what to do and kept doing it consistently.
Wow. I'm glad you were able to figure that out and have that experience. So many people don't know and never get to that place. So, yeah. And so then where did your writing the book and sharing your diet and lifestyle and vision of how to help people, how did that come in?
Well, you know, I think the beginning of this happened in my late 20s. And by the time I hit 30, I was like really reevaluating my life. Like, what do I really want to do this? You know, like, what am I doing with life? Because a lot of this doesn't make any sense. I remember like, and I'm giving you long answers to questions. I apologize. So truncate it down. Let me know. But I remember I was sitting in a meeting at the microchip company, and they were talking about like, okay, we just landed this big deal. Okay, we're selling one of our old microchips that we can manufacture for 5 cents, and we're selling it to for $1.05 to this company in Beijing that's going to put them in these glucose meters. Okay, and this is important because the diabetes market is exploding. By the year 2020, it's going to be like, you know, a $200 billion market. So we're just going to make money like hand over fist, you know, and everyone's like, yeah, this is great. Oh my God, amazing. And I'm sitting there like, I mean, yeah, they think they're doing a good thing, but like there's a type 2 diabetes problem exploding, not for a lack of microchips, you know?
Right, yeah.
The diet that people were eating, I was just like, I can't keep working in this industry. Like I just can't do it. So I just started thinking like, okay, I want to help people with the problems that I went through. Cause obviously there was a bunch of doctors who didn't have a clue. And then the movie Forks Over Knives came out, and they had these people that would like take you to the grocery store. They were doctors and be like, ran your labs before. And then we're going to feed you, you know, whole food plant-based for a month. And then, oh, look, all your numbers come down. And I was like, you can do that as a doctor? Like, that's a job? That's a thing? It's like, how do I sign up? Just sign me up. Right. And so that movie was like really instrumental for me being like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do what those guys are doing. So I went back to school I was trying to choose between like MD, naturopath, or chiropractor. We can go into why I chose chiropractor. Yeah, I remember it was like 2014. I like wrote a table of contents for this book.
Oh, wow.
I hate writing. I hate it. So it took 8 years to finish the book, which mostly it was like the last year of that 8 years when I really like got to work, you know, but I got tired of answering, you know, the same questions. And I just wanted to like present the information in a way that it made sense in common sense terms and not like hammer people with a bunch of like, you know, numbers and statistics and like just explain nutrition and health in like very basic terms that like anybody could get. Cause I think a lot of times a lot of the stuff is taught in like a very like regimented way. Like I remember taking nutrition class in chiropractic school and like we had to calculate all these RDAs and things. And it's like we just got to eat whole plants. Like it's one thing I learned from Colin Campbell. Like that's just what you got to do. Just like you calculate all these micronutrients, macronutrients, like it's important, but like people get lost in the details. So I wanted something that was like straightforward. People could follow it. It made sense. They'd read it. They'd be like, oh, okay. And especially I wanted to appeal to like the non-vegan crowd. You know, I wanted to just explain plant-based nutrition in a way that made sense, that people weren't feeling like their morals were attacked, you know? So that was kind of that was the genesis of the book, basically.
Great. So one of the other things I'm kind of curious about is when you stumbled upon this new path and saw that it really helped improve your own health, did you ever go back to those doctors that didn't know it was wrong with you or said everything was fine? And what kind of, like, if you did, what kind of response did you get from them about, you know, you healing yourself?
I didn't really. I remember when I was starting to like first read about this, I remember like kind of trying to ask my gastroenterologist questions about like, do you think it could be doing with anything that I'm eating? Or like, I have a lot of friends who are becoming like gluten intolerant. Do you think, oh no, 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 no. That has nothing to do with that. And I was like trying to argue, but I really didn't feel like it was my place. Like I really put these doctors on a pedestal. So I was like, yeah, but like, if they tested for, should I get tested for that? Or like, maybe is it worth just to try just to see if I feel better? No, no, you have to take this drug. Okay. It's like, this is a problem that food can't fix. And I just sort of like assumed he was right. Or just didn't want to argue. I was like, yeah, maybe, but like, I don't see myself winning an argument with this person. So I just backed off. So, but I've definitely had clients who have gone back and like, you know, tried to present the information, and you know, probably 10% of doctors are receptive and 90% are like, we're glad you're better, bye.
Yeah. Wow. But they admit that they're better, because I feel like I've heard from some people, you know, who have experiences. A childhood friend of mine, her grandfather had cancer at one point, and I think he shrank his cancer, got rid of it at one point from juicing and, you know, a plant-based diet. And his doctors were like, we don't understand what's going on. Like, you know, you tricked yourself. What's going on? Why isn't it showing? Like, they didn't even believe that, like, they just couldn't understand that his blood work and the cancer was actually different or better. Like, they hadn't, you know, seen it and were just kind of in disbelief. So have you gotten that response at all?
Oh yeah, for sure. They just chalk it up to spontaneous remission. Like some people just get better for no reason. We can't explain it, you know. Mm-hmm. But really, and I talk about this in the book, like people are just so engrossed in this like disease fighting paradigm that like they don't, like this stuff does not even compute, you know. So it's not, so I think a lot of people thinking like, oh, doctors are just trying to kill you and they just want to make money and they're bad people and all they want to do is give you drugs that give you side effects and it's all a conspiracy with AMA. And it's like, no, people are just really heavily indoctrinated into a way of looking at the world into like a philosophical vantage point that like they can't see past it. And like I used to be indoctrinated for 28 years of my life into that. Like I had a lot of medical doctors in my family. Like when everyone found out I was enrolling in chiropractic school, it was like, you know, it was like committing heresy, you know? mm-hmm. And it's like they still don't get, like my mom's like, will people really sign up to do health coaching with you just to eat better? I mean, like, really, they do that? It's like, yeah, I'm having people not get their colons cut out. It's kind of important, you know? So yeah, I think that like that definitely happens, but it's not, I don't think there's any like conspiracy or attempt to like keep people unhealthy. It's just like, we're just so indoctrinated in this vantage point of how we look at health and disease. It's like, we can't see outside the box at all. And so that's what I'm really trying to do with this book, is like get people to look at things from another perspective. Because yeah, it's not like they're doing this to, because, you know, because they're evil, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. So kind of on that note, the term like reversal of disease, autoimmune disease, whatever, very controversial, right? Like there are a lot of opinions online. And when you even Google, you know, can you reverse autoimmune disease or can you reverse X, Y, and Z, you know, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, these different healthcare authorities in the more mainstream world, you know, will have all these statements. I've seen them that are like, no, you cannot reverse, you know, this X, Y, and Z is not reversible. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, and what does the term reversal mean to you? Like, do you feel like if you were to, you know, stop eating this way, would your disease come back? Does that mean it's just remission or symptom mitigation? You know, like, so what does reversal mean to you? Do you really think that's possible? And what do you think about these other, you know, entities in that model? Like, what are they missing when they say you can't reverse things?
Sure. So that's a good distinction to draw, because a lot of people, there's this word cure, which is like, I think it's an absurdity. But a chronic disease is like, we would never say, oh, you reversed COVID, right? Because it's like it's an acute condition that you get and then it goes away. So, but a chronic disease is something that you have and it just really just doesn't get worse. In fact, it usually progresses. Like we take like something like type 2 diabetes. It starts off with your blood sugar being a little bit elevated, but as time goes on, you start to lose your vision, you start to lose your toes, you start to have heart problems, but that's progressive over time. As your blood sugar goes up and up and up, it gets worse. So in the same way, it can be reversed. So depending on how far it's progressed, the longer time it's going to take to get back to health, right? So if you've got type 2 diabetes and you've got a hemoglobin A1C of 10, which is like really high, you know, it's probably going to take a couple years of eating healthy to get it down to like, you know, under 6 or whatever the marker is for pre-diabetes. But it's going to progressively get better. So that's a reversal. It's a going in the direction of not disease, I guess, is the going in the direction of health. So it's a process and it takes time versus like cure, right? Like some people think they hit me up and they think I got some like tub of, you know, powdered some root from the Amazon that if they just take 3 scoops of it, like their lupus goes away. It's like, sorry, it doesn't work that way. It's not a cure. We're removing the root cause and we have to undo the damage over the time. The body can heal itself just in the same way. If you cut your hand and you put a Band-Aid on it, it doesn't immediately like heal, right? It takes a few days, but it does. It just, it's a process. So that's what we mean by reverse. And of course, you know, the medical system, you know, when they say that there's no cure for this, or it can't be reversed, or it can't be done, what they really mean is that it can't be done within the confines of their paradigm. Okay. Because if, like I said, if you can't find it on a lab test, it doesn't exist. You're not actually sick. Okay. It's all in your head. So we have published data now. We've shown that people have reversed autoimmune disease, that the IDJRP, International Journal of Disease Reversal and Prevention, has published a lot of stuff. They just had a case study of a woman who reversed her MS. She was a former client of mine. I know Brooke Goldner's put out some really good research reversing a lot of people's conditions. Joel Furman has put out some case series on it, using a plant-based diet, using fasting. So the research is out there, but when it's not done with like Humira or Taltz or Remicade or whatever, it's just like, it doesn't count because they didn't use a pharmaceutical drug. So, of course, like, you know, these journal articles aren't going to get a lot of play in major journals, because who's writing the ads? Where did all the revenue come for the, you know, the Science and Nature and all these guys? It comes from pharma. So when you have a non-pharmaceutical solution to a problem that makes pharma a lot of money, it doesn't get a lot of attention. The word doesn't really spread, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I've definitely seen that myself. So when it comes to the drugs, right? Like you mentioned, that's the pharma's model for how they deal with this. Would you like, does that count as reversal? Like if people are really experiencing, you know, whether it's diabetes and a decreasing of their blood sugar or insulin or whatever it is, I've heard, you know, people kind of debate that or discuss like, well, drugs do it too. So, you know, for people who don't have the motivation or don't want to change their diet, you know, what's wrong with them taking drugs if that reverses it too?
That's a good question. I mean, we can talk about it in terms of any of these chronic diseases. Like if we talk in terms of diabetes, I mean, like you can use metformin and insulin to like manage people's blood sugar and kind of get it less bad, but you can't get them healthy on it. You can get them like kind of not as sick, right? And then of course there's side effects and the disease still progresses, just not as fast. So you can kind of slow it down, but you can't really reverse it. And let's face it, it's no fun like pricking your finger every day and shooting up insulin. And that's definitely no fun. Something like autoimmune disease, well, now here you go. Well, the strategy for that is actually like, it's quite barbaric, honestly. They basically say, okay, your immune system is attacking your joints or your digestive system, your thyroid or whatever. We're going to put you on drugs to suppress your immune system, right? Because then that'll make the problem go away, right? And it's like a Rube Goldberg kind of thing. It's like, there, I fixed it. Like, you know, we stuff all the toys in the closet, but like we haven't really solved the problem because now you've got a suppressed immune system. And guess what? You kind of need your immune system, right? So now these people have like chronic infections, coughs, colds, 10, 20 years, they're developing cancer. You know, I had a guy who, you know, he was on Remicade for 20 years for ulcerative colitis. That's an autoimmune disease of the colon. And it was sort of like, it was under control. It wasn't too bad. Like the disease, like it suppressed the symptoms. But then one day he went in for his yearly scope and they're like, yeah, like we got to cut this thing out, you know? And then it was like record scratch, you know, like, okay, I don't want to do that. You know, I thought it was under control. And so another thing I've noticed just doing this work is that the immune suppressant drugs work for a while. Like maybe they go into remission for 2 or 3 years and then symptoms come back and they go, oh, we got to switch the drug. And then they switch the drug. Maybe they're better for 6-12 months. And it just becomes like a whack-a-mole. In the meantime, their immune system suppressed the whole time. So it's a solution. I don't think it's the best solution. There's a lot of problems with it. Obviously, there are people out there who have gotten benefits, but the people that come to me and work with me are the people who are sick of that merry-go-round and aren't really getting results doing that. And I think a lot of people just kind of resign themselves to the fact that I'll feel better in some ways, but I'll feel worse in other ways. And this is kind of the best I can do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I kind of asked that because some of the videos that I've made on Instagram and TikTok, I think I made one talking about how I hadn't taken, you know, painkillers or, you know, Tylenol, ibuprofen, like pharmaceutical drugs. And I got a bunch of comments of like, you know, why are you against drugs? And like, these actually help people. And, you know, not everyone can, you know, get away with not taking these. And, you know, my response was kind of like, if that's the approach you want to take, like, great. That's like, the point is I'm just showing you for people who don't want the side effects of those drugs or who want to actually find a deeper solution, there are alternatives out there. Like we don't have to be as reliant on these things as the mainstream medical model and establishment would have you believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm a big proponent of choice. And a lot of people just don't know these other options are out there. And yeah, there's going to be people who are like, you know what, I'd rather just take a pill and, you know, deal with the consequences. And that's fine. But there are people out there who just don't know. Right. And so let's get the message out to them. And, you know, it comes down to this idea of like informed consent, right? Like, you know, your doctor should go over with you all the options and let you decide.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what is your response to people who maybe hear your story or your book and they're like, oh, this is just anecdotal. Like there's no, you know, like where's the long-term studies? And, you know, we have studies on drugs showing they, you know, minimize, you know, these effects or markers. And this is just your anecdotal story and you're teaching people based on a personal experience that's meaningless. Just one person, it was a fluke. Like what would you respond to people who might think this or be saying this?
I don't really deal too much with that. And, you know, honestly, if people don't want to do it, like I'm not here to not really here to argue with them or convince them of anything. So, you know, I have testimonials up on my website of, you know, lots of people who've healed. But of course, you know, that's a video and I could have hired all paid actors, you know? So I really don't like engage in those kind of arguments. It's like, if people want to be unconvinced, it's like, I'm really here to help all the other people who need the help and not fight with the people who don't believe me. So.
Yeah, no. And I totally get that. I guess I'm asking more just on like a philosophical level, like your thoughts on like how, you know, how you think about like, oh, this is an anecdotal story versus data and how you make sense of that.
I mean, look, I'd love to get, you know, $1 billion grant from the NIH to run like a giant, like randomized control study, you know, like a giant population study and feed, you know, thousands of people this diet and show the results. But I don't think Tony Fauci is going to be, you know, delineating that money to me anytime soon. So I guess I would say like the cards are stacked in the favor for pharma, that they're going to be able to publish a lot of the data. And, you know, as we know, like engineer the data to look good, even when it's not. And then, you know, people like Colin Campbell got to, you know, just like beg at the altar of the end, please publish my China study, you know? So that's just kind of the way it goes. So the cards aren't stacked in the favor. So if you want to wait around until, you know, that data gets done, you know, be prepared to wait a while, I guess.
Yeah, no, totally agree. It's like, to me, anecdotal stories are a direction. They're an arrow of where we should be researching and looking. Like, they alone are not, you know, data or conclusive, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, there's a reason that there's a lot more research on drugs, you know, and data showing that they work compared to, you know, a whole foods plant-based diet or a smoothie regimen or these different things, because there, you know, there isn't as much money to be made in those. So there isn't as much funding for that research. So sometimes, you know, I mean, as kind of what I tell people, like, sometimes we don't know. Like, the research simply hasn't been done one way or the other. So
yeah, totally.
You just have to, you know, figure out what makes the most sense for you. And that might be listening to anecdotal stories without data.
Yeah, and I definitely don't warn of any side effects. You know, you eat healthier, like, nothing bad's going to happen. So there's no risk. Might as well give it a shot.
Absolutely. So can you tell me a little bit more about the details of this diet? Like, you know, is cutting out animal foods and, you know, eating vegan junk food, is that enough? Is it smoothies? Is it, you know, a bunch of ground flaxseed? Like, what are you actually advocating for in your book? What have you seen work best?
Sure. So it's definitely whole food, plant-based, and as much raw as possible. And when I say raw, I'm not talking like nuts and seeds. I'm talking fruit and greens. So really heavily focused on fruit and leafy greens, green smoothies, fruit mono meals, salads, you know, minimal amounts of like steamed baked vegetables, stuff like that. Really try to stay away from anything with an allergen in it, like anything that could be GMO, gluten, soy, corn, that kind of thing. But yeah, really just focused on fresh, ripe, raw whole foods. I am a fan of like, you know, the flax seeds, the hemp seeds, but I'm not telling you to pour like a whole bag of them in every smoothie. In fact, I've actually had to tell people to cut down on that because the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio gets so flipped, it actually becomes counterproductive. But that's another story. But basically, yeah, just focusing on like on fruits and leafy greens, the primary staples, eating them in abundance. You know, I take a lot of things from like Doug Graham, but I also take a lot of things from like Colin Campbell and Dr. Goldhammer and kind of just mush it in together into a protocol. But it's really basic stuff. It's eat stuff that grows out of the ground and off of a tree. And I'm not, you know, there's no supplements, no special powders, nothing you got to like get from the Amazon. It's really all stuff you can get from a grocery store.
That's awesome. And do you think there's much room for variation in this or for different autoimmune conditions? Do you think, have you seen much of a difference or would you recommend much of a difference for people who want variations in that?
Yeah, I mean, you can be flexible with it and you can see what works. I know there's a lot of people, certain autoimmune conditions like psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis can be really sensitive, and ulcerative colitis can be really sensitive to nightshades. So like tomatoes are out. You know, And then, you know, if you have a lot of, you're coming to it with a lot of insulin resistance, the fruit may not actually be the best thing. You may want to go more towards starch in the beginning until the A1C comes down. So I guess people give me a hard time because they're like, Dr. Ben, you have to have an exact protocol. What did you do? What do you eat exactly every day? And it's like, look, as long as you're eating whole plant foods, like you're going in the right direction. Like people get way too hung up on like, what percent carbs should I eat and all this? And it's like, just get the fundamentals down and stick to that. I think with diet, people can get really like lost in the weeds. And then it's like, they're not even like following, they get so regimented and then they fall off and they go crazy. And so it's really got to be something that is sustainable, you can stick to, right? Because I could put you on a 100-day juice cleanse, but then like, what happens after that, right? Like people come to me and they're like, I want to detox, I want to cleanse, I want to do like, you know, 20 days of just a juice fast. Like, let's do it. And I'm like, that's actually probably not the best for you because like we need to build you healthy, sustainable habits that you can do like long term. So let's focus on that. And like, because people want, I want results now. I'm gonna do the water fast, I'm gonna do the detox, the thing that's really gonna give me the healing. And it's like, no, you gotta like the book is called Create Health for a reason, because you gotta create sustainable habits that are going to keep you healthy long term, as opposed to doing a bunch of crazy gymnastics with your food to try to like heal a symptom or like get there faster, right? Sometimes, you know, the best way to learn is the hard way, fortunately. So
Absolutely. No, that's yeah, I tell people the more plants you can add in and the more you can crowd out the animal foods or the junk food, the processed foods, the better. And it's not yeah, it's not a perfect, like I think it's a correlation. Like that really is, you know, when we look at whether it's the Blue Zones or the China study, that's what we see. The more plant foods you have, it seems like health and longevity and, you know, are better and chronic disease is less. So the more the better.
yeah, absolutely. And I think people get really like, oh, if I just do celery juice, I can go eat a McMuffin for breakfast. It's like, it's not the way it works. Like, yeah, I like what you say about just including more and more. It's like people get so like, oh, I can't eat this food, I can't eat that food, I gotta be a vegan. It's like, no, just slam the fruits and the veg as hard as you can, let the other stuff work itself out, and you'll feel so much better doing it. You'll just want more of it. And eventually it gets to the point where it's not even like a contest. You're like, I don't even want to eat that stuff. I know how I'm gonna feel. So yeah, it's totally like we got to look big picture for sure, and like look at long term and just like inclusion much more than exclusion.
So then what would be like, you know, your top five, or you don't have to list them, but what tips would you give for someone who, you know, wants to start on this now and they're thinking like, okay, I'm ready to change my diet. What are the practical tips that you would suggest?
I would say you got to be going grocery shopping twice a week. You got to be you know, used to like prepping your food like the morning of or the night before. You got to keep a large inventory of fruits and vegetables in your house because it takes time to go ripe. Like I just went to the store this morning and I got organic bananas, but they're not going to be ripe till it's Wednesday, not going to be ripe till Friday or Saturday. So I'm glad I have other ones that are here. So you got to maintain inventory. And you know, it's so easy now. We're so used to convenience where it's like, oh, I can just walk across the street and go to Arby's. I can just DoorDash food, whatever. It's like instantaneous, but like nature doesn't work that way. So you got to plan ahead, and you got to have a structure to things. And then you get into a routine and a flow, and you just do it every day, and it becomes easy. So that's what I would say. Eat with the seasons is another one. Like right now, it's summer. It's fantastic, you know. I'm really not gonna buy oranges because that's more of a winter fruit, but watermelons, mangoes. I just got some mame sapote today. I'm like really stoked on peaches, nectarines, lots of good stuff out there right now. But you know, when seasons change, I'll be eating differently. And then so that's like what, three or four tips. And then I would say another one is just like find like-minded people in your area, in your physical location, who are like into what you're doing. Because if you've got family and friends who just eat a standard American diet and think you're crazy and aren't supportive, like it's gonna be way harder to stick to it versus if you have supportive people in your life that are doing the same thing, striving for the same things, going after the same results you're going after, makes it easier. And if you don't have that community, can't find that community in person, well, number one, I would say start a meetup group, start something in your area. And number two, find support online.
Absolutely. I love the community tip. That's something I talk to people about a lot. So important. And it gets overlooked. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize how powerful our environment and our connections and our social network are in influencing our habits, our choices, what we end up doing. It's a huge one. So that, I love that.
Yeah.
So then one other sort of more on the practical side of things, what about organics? Because that's something that comes up a lot where people are like, oh, but, you know, if I'm eating a bunch more of these, you know, fruits and veggies and they're not organic, I'm getting, you know, pesticides, GMOs, whatever. How important do you think, you know, and then the cost, of course, comes up. Well, that makes it even more expensive to eat, you know, whole food, organic, you know, plants. So where do you think, like, if people are concerned about trying to balance that, how important are organics?
Okay, good question. And this is something I've, you know, gone back and forth on over the years. But I would first point out that, like, okay, you're going to pay, right? You're going to either pay the cost of health or you're going to pay the cost of disease. I like being healthy a lot better. Being diseased really sucked. Of course, a Remicade, cash out of pocket's $85,000 a year. I'd rather spend that money on organic fruits and vegetables. Obviously there's a price adder. But there is, of course, the question of, like, okay, well, you know, these organic, there's still pesticides that can be used on these organic fruits and vegetables, and which ones are used are based on, like, how fast they dissipate out of the ground, not how fast they are excreted from the body. So are they even any healthier? I'm not sure. Honestly, it's gotten to the point where it's confusing. So I just buy as much organic as I can, but I don't live and die by it. And, you know, if you're eating animal foods, if you're eating processed foods, you're getting a way higher pesticide load, because especially if animal foods, because they had a bunch of, like, processed, you know, heavily sprayed feed, and then it compounded them over the course of their way too short life. And so the amount of pesticide you're eating an animal is, like, astronomical compared to, like, you know, a bowl of non-organic blueberries. So I think the math works out that, like, you know, you're going to be ahead of the game eating fruits and vegetables, even if, you know, they're mostly not organic.
Yeah. I mean, especially if people are coming from a standard American diet or eating meat and dairy, and then you're only concerned about pesticides when it comes to vegetables.
Yeah.
All kind of a sudden, missing the point.
Yeah. It's just their brain just fires. Oh, I see what you're doing and it's healthier than me. So what about pesticides? You know, it's like, No. You've been eating Chick-fil-A. Like, you're getting, like, 100 times the pesticide load every meal. So.
Yeah. And I mean, with cost too, it's like, yeah, I fully recognize that, you know, healthy plant foods and organic produce, they're not equally accessible to everyone all over the world by any means. There's definitely, yeah, you know, food inequality. But at the same time, I still think it is somewhat up to the individual of, like, how much does this matter to you? Like, you may have to spend a little more. You may have to go out of your way a little bit more. But, you know, is it worth it to you? that's something that you have to decide.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you how out of my way I was going to be sick and chronically ill. I mean, that was, like, it almost cost me my job, my house, my relationship. That was way out of my way. Like, going to the grocery store, you know, a couple times a week to just get the good stuff is a lot easier than being sick. So,
yeah. Okay, so then the final question I have is, you know, this podcast is the Science is Gray podcast. What does Science is Gray mean to you in the context of disease reversal and, you know, plant, you know, centric diets and what we've been talking about?
Well, I think that you and I have both seen over the past 2 years this idea of the science. Basically, you know, it science is supposed to be a means of testing a hypothesis, a way of, like, coming to an answer. But now it's like, you know, it's been, like, religionized. Like, oh, do you believe in science? It's like, it's not a belief system. It's just a methodology for testing, figuring out the truth. And, you know, we're not going to know everything. I mean, we know a heck of a lot less, more in the 21st century than they did in the 20th and the 19th, but we still don't have all the answers. And so, like you were saying, you know, at some point, like, we got to make a decision based on the evidence that we have. And so, you know, it's like, do we have a bunch of large scale, you know, studies on plant-based diets showing, like, you know, they can reverse autoimmune disease? Not really, but we've got some case series and we've got some anecdotal evidence. So, you know, you're gonna have to make your own decision. And if you want to wait until, you know, the science is settled, you might be waiting for a while. So I think, like, you know, at some point, like you have to make a judgment call. And science doesn't have all the answers, even though like corporate junk science tries to make it out that they do. And I think that's what a lot of people have been led astray. They just want some formal authority to say, this is the way it is. I've done the thinking for you, and you're a smart person if you go along with what I say, because here are my credentials. And it doesn't really work that way. So I would say, you know, you weigh the evidence, and then you got to make your own decision whether you're a scientist or have a scientific background or not. And then, you know, you may go try something, do something, find it doesn't work for you, and have to go back to the drawing board and reevaluate the evidence or reevaluate how you're applying the evidence. And it's just a process. You're never going to have certainty. Sorry. Things are never going to be exactly spelled out. That's just the way life is.
Well, thank you so much. Where can people go to find more about your work, follow you, and get your book?
Sure, absolutely. So it's my name on the major platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Dr. Benjamin Benoulis. And then if they want to pick up my book, you get on Amazon, of course. And then you can go to my website, createhealthbook.com. If you buy it there, I throw in a few cool video bonuses that you won't get on Amazon. But yeah, that's where you can grab it, createhealthbook.com.
Thank you so much. It's great having you on today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. And if you enjoyed this episode or are enjoying the podcast as a whole and want to support me and help get this information in front of more people, I would love it if you could share this episode and also leave a rating and review of the podcast in the iTunes or Spotify app or wherever else you are listening from.